Hey, everybody, what's the worst trade in sports history? Well, what's the worst trade in human history? We go through that and we talk about how the current Taliban government is a creation of our trade policies, but not trade as you might know at the World Trade Organization or NAFTA, a different type of trade, about how Obama and Biden designed the current regime in Taliban that made the Bill Russell, Kobe Bryant, and Babe Ruth trade look like a stellar trade. We go into that and so much more. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support this program, which really helps us out, go to charliekirk.com/support. Now, when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you allow us to continue to reach so many people. Our goal is to reach millions of young people every single month. I want to thank Maxine from Wichita, Kansas. Thank you. I want to thank Elian from Aurora, Illinois. I know where that is. Thank you. Emily from Willow, Alaska. It's a great place. I want to thank Chad from San Clemente, California for a monthly support. charliekirk.com/support. When you get behind our program and support us, it helps us hire more staff and stay strong on the Charlie Kirk Show. The worst trades in American history. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. According to BleacherReport.com, What are the worst trades or worst deals ever done in the history of sports? Number four is Brett Favre to Green Bay for a first-round pick. The Atlanta Falcons sent rookie Brett Favre to Green Bay Packers for a first-round pick. Ended up being terrible as the Falcons never gave Favre much of a shot. And, of course, Favre, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever and one of my personal favorites just because of his swagger and his attitude. And also, he endorsed President Trump. Number three, Kobe Bryant to Los Angeles for Vlade Divac. Now, let me say, I have a soft spot for Vlade Divac. The Sacramento Kings, what year was that? 01, 02, 03? When they had Peja Stojakovic, Mike Bibby, Chris Webber, Vlade Divac. That was one of the best teams that never made it. And they got screwed over by the referees. But still, they trading Kobe Bryant for Vlade Divac, not a good deal. Number two, the great Bill Russell, one of the best basketball players ever, when the St. Louis Hawks traded Bill Russell to Boston for Ed McCauley and Cliff Hagan in 1956. Russell went on to be the best NBA center of all time, arguably, and he led the Celtics to 11 NBA titles. 11 for one player. The most of any storied franchise in basketball. And the worst deal ever brokered in sports history was, of course, the legend of the Bambino, when the Boston Red Sox traded future baseball star Babe Ruth for $100,000 and a $300,000 loan to finance a musical called No No Nanette. Of course, Babe Ruth goes on to win multiple World Series and becomes one of the best, if not the best, baseball player in history, dominating the Red Sox. Now, the Bleacher Report ends the article by saying, how could anything be worse? Not so fast, my friends, as Lee Corso would say. You see, today on this episode, we're going to put lots of different pieces together, and we're going to talk about the worst deal that was ever brokered in geopolitical history, a deal that might have been done intentionally to weaken America and strengthen our Arab enemies. In 2014, of May of 2014, Turning Point USA was just getting started. We were just starting to get some momentum to try to get on campuses. And I remember vividly where I was. I was at some hotel in the Dallas area in May, trying to raise money or do something. And I turned on my television screen. It was a breaking news alert. Barack Hussein Obama announces a trade. Now, it's not a trade for Brett Favre from the Falcons to the Packers. It wasn't a trade of Bill Russell to some no-namers. It wasn't a trade of some musical for Babe Ruth. No, no, no. It was a trade for the terrorist all-star team from Gitmo, five of them, the Fab Five, the killers, for a traitor. Many of you will now remember this quickly. Some of you that are younger that are listening have no memory of this. This was the famous Bo Bergdahl for Gitmo trade that happened in May of 2014. Now, Bo Bergdahl is a traitor to the United States. He abandoned his fellow soldiers. In fact, several soldiers died looking for Bo Bergdahl, including Clayton Bowen, Kurt Curtis, Darren Andrews, Michael Murphy, Matthew Martinek, and Morris Walker. All of them died looking for Bo Bergdahl, who abandoned and betrayed his country. Yet Obama was very quick to try to execute this deal, to try to release five terrorists from Gitmo for one traitor to the United States. And who was overseeing this whole deal? Joe Biden. Now, when this was happening, those of us that were in politics, we couldn't really make sense of what was going on. So let's go back, cut 20. This was the ABC News report laying out who the five prisoners were and who they traded for Bergdahl. Cut 20.
All five detainees were active Taliban fighters and planners. Three held leadership posts in the Taliban government. Mohammed Fazil was a former deputy minister of defense and founding Taliban member. Abdul Haq Wasiq was a former deputy intelligence minister and confidant of top Taliban leader Mullah Omar. Mullah Nurallah Nouri was a senior Taliban commander in northern Afghanistan and one of the highest-ranking Taliban held at Guantanamo.
So three out of five were Taliban leaders. While we were actively at war against the Taliban and the Taliban were killing American soldiers and American journalists, we were trading five terrorists for a traitor? Cut 17. What did Bo Bergdahl do that was so bad? Well, Brett Baer in October of 2017 tells you exactly what he did. Cut 17.
Bo Bergdahl will indeed enter a plea Monday to charges that he endangered comrades by walking off his remote post in Afghanistan in 2009. We reported last week that Bergdahl is expected to plead guilty to those charges. No word on whether there is an agreement on his punishment, but the misbehavior before the enemy charge carries a maximum penalty of life in prison, while the desertion charge is punishable by up to 5 years.
And then throughout this whole thing, one of the most bizarre moments was Bo Bergdahl's father, a white man with a long beard, starts speaking Arabic at the White House, praising Obama for bringing Bo Bergdahl back to the United States and saying, thank you for doing this. Cut 27. When Bo Bergdahl's father starts uttering Arabic as he himself, an Islamic believer or sympathizer, certainly looks like one. Cut 27.
I'd like to say to Bo right now, who's having trouble speaking English, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Zayabayem. I'm your father, Bo. The people of Afghanistan, the same. Khalifa al-Thani, the complicated nature of this recovery will never really be comprehended.
What ended up happening was that we traded the five prisoners, the five terrorists of the Taliban leadership, for Bo Bergdahl, the deserter. Cut 26, Obama says that trading five prisoners for Bergdahl's release, and he's working with the Qatari government to ensure our national security. Cut 26.
As part of this effort, the United States is transferring five detainees from the prison in Guantanamo Bay to Qatar. The Qatari government has given us assurances that it will put in place measures to protect our national security. I also want to express gratitude to the Afghan government, which has always supported our efforts to secure Bo's release.
To secure Bo's release. You see, the art of the statesman is to make deals under pressure to hopefully benefit the homeland and disadvantage the enemy. This deal was brokered. A traitor for a terror all-star team, and you should be now asking this question, where are they now? Where are those Gitmo prisoners that were traded for that traitor that Americans died looking for? Are they playing baccarat in the south of France? Are they in yachts in the Mediterranean? Are they herding goats in the Pashtun? Oh, no, no. We're going to tell you where Obama's all-star team is and how they got there. Did you know that if you shop at Nike, they turn around and give your hard-earned dollars to pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood and the Population Council? Sinister folks, by the way. Did you know that Airbnb gave $500,000 to the Marxist BLM Incorporated organization? Your first vote is at the ballot box, but that isn't enough to defend our traditional Judeo-Christian values. Left-wing corporations are subverting our nation and our republic by taking money from conservative customers and giving it to radical organizations that support abortion, gun control, and critical race theory. You have another vote, a second vote at the checkout line, which is why there's a massively important organization called Second Vote that comes in. I know them very well. I've known them for years, and I'm so honored to partner with them. And the courageous people at Second Vote are exposing corporations for how they spend your money. So check out secondvote.com today. Second Vote is developing incredible tools and engaging the smartest minds in the country to help inform Americans' purchasing decisions. Their work is arduous, complex, and exhaustive, and it doesn't happen for free. So please support their work so we can defend our future from the woke Marxist mob. So here's what I want you to do. Do what I did. Just go right now to secondvote.com and subscribe. It's $50 a year. I know it costs something, but they have to be able to pay for their research. And the Black family, who are amazing people, by the way, have underwritten this effort for quite some time. But if you use the promo code Charlie, you get 50% off. That's $25 a year, everybody, okay? That's literally $2 a month. And that's 50% off, so $25 a year. That's $2.5 a month at that, so that you can have the information you need on your next purchase. So join me, go to secondvote.com, and subscribe with promo code Charlie. Maybe it's like, hey, I don't know if the car I'm buying, are they donating to Planned Parenthood? What about all these companies? Secondvote.com has every company ranked. It's a beautiful thing. Go to secondvote.com and subscribe with promo code Charlie today. Barack Obama and Joe Biden traded five all-star terrorists for Bo Bergdahl. Remember Cut 25 where Obama said, well, Bergdahl is not forgotten. Let's play Cut 25.
But while Bo was gone, he was never forgotten. His parents thought about him and prayed for him every single day, as did his sister, Skye, who prayed for his safe return. He wasn't forgotten by his community in Idaho or the military, which rallied to support the Bergdahls through thick and thin. And he wasn't forgotten by his country, because the United States of America does not ever leave our men and women in uniform behind.
Well, that's not true. We leave people behind all the time. We just left them behind in Kabul. No, this was all an excuse. This was a mastermind plan by Obama and Biden to try to empower the Taliban. Just as Joe Biden just gave weapons to the Taliban. You see what's really going on here? In the State Department, in the Obama regime, they were thinking, how do we get the all-star team? How do we get Chris Webber and how do we get the Fab Five back into the Taliban? Oh, that traitor is being held hostage. Let's broker this fake deal. So where are they now? Breaking yesterday, The four prisoners that Obama exchanged for Bo Bergdahl are now in senior Taliban posts. Weeb did that. Starring at 5'8", known for preying on little girls with six wives, Karula Karakawa, the head of goat herding, Norula Nuri, in charge of making sure no one eats pork, Abdul Haq Wasik, and the suicidal bomb reconciliatory division of the Taliban government, Mohammed Fasil. We did that. Remember when Obama said, cut 22? If you got a business, you got a bridge, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. Play cut 22.
If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we have that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
If you got a government of goat herders, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. No, Obama, you built that. Obama Biden built the government of the Taliban. Now, just as a side note, do you notice how Obama, he used to do kind of very proper Obama, where he'd be like, today, we're here to talk about Bo Bergdahl's release. And then he would do the jive Obama, where he'd kind of roll up his sleeves. He'd start kind of talking in slang. You didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. Like, which one is it, Obama? Is it the rolled up sleeves, Obama? You see, many of you listeners out there, you've never experienced our whole commentary around Barry Sotero. You've missed the depth, the sophistication, the creativity, the fun we used to have with this man. You see, he had more energy and spirit than Biden, who just falls asleep. What were we saying in the midst of this, though? Well, I can tell you what Trump was saying. Cut 19, private citizen Trump, businessman Trump, said that Bergdahl was a dirty, rotten traitor, and we get a traitor and they get five people. And guess what? The Taliban government is now staffed by the very people that we gave them, our government. Cut 19.
So we get a traitor named Bergdahl, a dirty, rotten traitor, who, by the way, when he deserted, six young, beautiful people were killed trying to find him. Somebody said the other day, well, he had some psychological problems. Well, you know, in the old days, bing, bong, when we were strong. So we get Bergdahl, a traitor, and they get five of the people that they most wanted anywhere in the world, five killers that are right now back on the battlefield doing a job. That's the kind of deals we make.
And what if I told you it was done intentionally? What if I told you we left the weapons intentionally? What if I told you we traded a traitor for their all-star team to empower the Taliban? Why? It all has to do with our greatest enemy and a small island that many Americans don't know about. Are you saving for retirement or just treading water? Are you depending solely on stocks or mutuals? Charlie Kirk here. Did you know that it's easy to move out of an old 401k into precious metals like gold, and that's predicted to go up $2,500 an ounce soon? This could be an answer for you. So call the team at Noble Gold. Do it this month and they'll give you a free 22-karat American Eagle coin. Just mention promo code Kirk. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Promo code Kirk. Check it out right now. Obama built that and Biden built that. But why? Why were all of these pieces in play so early? What was happening back in 2014? Well, in 2014, it was the last couple years of the Obama regime, and there was serious populist energy that was beginning to rise up around specific issues around trade and immigration. You see, Obama didn't get much done his second term, but one of the few things he got done was the Iran deal and also opening up China to be unrestricted in the World Trade Organization. Most people don't know this, but Afghanistan neighbors China. It's about a 90-mile border. Actually, it's a little bit more than that, I've been told, because part of it goes through the Kashmir region. But Afghanistan neighbors China. China, you turn over a rock and you get 100 million people in China. But the one thing China does not have is natural resources. Afghanistan is very natural resource rich, especially rare earth minerals. Now, not as much oil, believe it or not. Afghanistan does have a fair amount of oil, but nowhere near as much as Saudi Arabia or Yemen or Oman or the UAE or Iran or any of the other Middle East partners. Why would Barack Obama, with his partner Joe Biden, broker this type of deal? Well, who was flying on Air Force Two to China while he was vice president? Hunter Biden was. We know that Chinese deals were being brokered while Joe Biden was vice president of the United States. Now, why would China want to see the Taliban as a legitimate government? Well, the Taliban will do whatever China wants them to do, whereas the propped up regime government of Asaf Ghani, the fake government that we put in place, China wasn't getting everything they wanted. You see, China, they want to create a Belt and Road Initiative across the entire world. And Afghanistan is a key partner in that. And so they'd say, man, we got to get our boys back running the Taliban. We got to get the people, oh, let's trade Bergdahl for these five killers. And you see these five killers, they are now running the Taliban government. That is the new breaking news. That the Taliban interior is now staffed thanks to our own making. We did that. So I want to get to another piece of tape here where it's cut. I hate to play a tape of John McCain, but he was right here. Cut 16. I know I saw it. I said, oh my goodness. But yeah, it's just he probably wanted the ground invasion of Libya or something in between these statements, or he was salivating over invading Peru because somebody looked at him weird in the halls. But John McCain is right about this one. Cut 16.
I think there are legitimate questions about these individuals who are being released and the conditions under which they will be released. These are the hardest of the hardcore. These are the highest high-risk people. And others that we have released have gone back into the fight. That's been documented. So, and it's disturbing to me that the Taliban are the ones that named the people to be released.
And Andrew, so what does this tell us about the geopolitical situation, what's happening right now in Afghanistan?
Well, right now, the Taliban they're celebrating and they're spiking the football, so to speak. I mean, I think it's really fascinating that the entire debacle, the botched surrender, we can call it a withdrawal if you want, but it was really a surrender, ultimately to get to this 20-year anniversary photo op for Joe Biden, is punctuated by not our victory 20 years later, but by the Taliban's. And to make this really, really clear, the Taliban are planning to have their interim government inauguration ceremony on Saturday, September 11th, 20th anniversary of 9/11. And as John McCain said, they got the hardest of the hardcore, the Taliban five. And by the way, people are asking, well, if there's four out of the five, where did the fifth one end up? And that would be Mohammed Nabi Omari, and he was appointed governor of East Coast province last month. And not East Coast like New York, but like KHOST, a region in Afghanistan. So he's a big important player as well. And I hate to say it because I grew up in an America as you did, Charlie, where we won. We won everything. We were in space, we were in the Olympics, we won our wars. The Taliban won this one, we lost.
And we did not have the will to win. But don't worry, everybody. The Biden regime, they're taking this very seriously. In fact, the Biden regime has issued a scathing memo that has made the Taliban legitimately frightened. I am reading, quote, from thehill.com, the State Department voices concern over all male Taliban government. This is shocking. In fact, this could change the political dynamics of the entire region. The spokesperson says, we have made clear our expectation that the Afghan people deserve an inclusive government. The State Department says that they will judge the Taliban by its actions, not words. And of course, one of the people that are running Afghanistan is Haqqani, who runs the Haqqani Network that was created thanks to our reckless withdrawal from Afghanistan. The State Department continues by saying, we want to also reiterate our clear expectation that the Taliban ensure that Afghan soil is not used to threaten any other countries and allow humanitarian access in support of the Afghan people. The world is watching closely. You men. You evil men. Well, they go even further. The State Department is saying that they're worried that their administration is not diverse enough. You see, they're insufficiently have people of color. They need more Ilhan Omars in the Pashtun government in Afghanistan. I'm reading from the Post Millennial. It says here that a State Department spokesperson has says that they presented this as a caretaker cabinet. They say that this notable absence of women in the inner core government comes despite the Taliban saying that they want to urge women to join government offices in an attempt to differentiate the Taliban rule of 2001 from that of 20 years ago. They obviously know very little about, let's just say, Pashtun Afghan Islamic theocratic fascism. Right. So all of a sudden, 20 years later, you think because they told you something, they're going to have like Eva Peron or Angela Merkel run the Afghan government. Like, oh, yeah, we got Mohammeda here and she's our new spokesperson. You think that's going to really work out for you? So the Biden regime.
It's insane.
Yeah, and that girl from Time Magazine, she's going to go on some – you know who needs to run? I know who needs to be the next prime minister. Greta Thunberg.
She would be a person of color, by the way, in Afghanistan. I'm just
saying. She would be a minority technically, even though she's a Swede.
Right, exactly.
She's Norwegian. She's a Swede, right? Yeah, she's ethnically a Swede. Which
somewhere
the left
north.
Hates,
I think she's Swedish.
The left hates ethnic Swedes. They're like – at the top of the list, like how dare
is
you?
Is she an adult yet? By the way, can we actually officially criticize her? Because when she was 16, I don't think she was. You know,
she's 18 now,
we
right?
Couldn't actually.
Is she fair game?
Is she 18? I think she's yes.
She's fair game.
Here we go.
Well, here's the
we
problem
can criticize
with Greta Thunberg.
Her policy position.
Let me tell you why Greta Thunberg will never be prime minister of Afghanistan. You might say, Charlie, it's obvious. It's because she's not Muslim. No. It's not. No. You're wrong. You see, it's because Afghanistan's landlocked. She can't get there. Greta Thunberg travels the world
in a
boat.
She could ride a horse, Charlie.
Camel.
She could ride a horse.
Okay. No.
Camel. Horse, then camel.
Some yes. form of a 13th century, trading route. Greta Thunberg can recreate and she will come ascendant into Kabul to liberate the Taliban from their worship of fossil fuels.
She's going to go on China's new Silk Road. Through, right through, that's where she's going.
How dare you, Taliban, take these fossil fuels and colonialize them? Don't you know the damage you do? Greta Thunberg for Prime Minister of Afghanistan. But don't worry, the State Department is on the case. You know, cutting Christians' heads off, zero, silence. Cutting tongues out of interpreters, zero, silence. Hunting down people in the streets, zero silence. But the real problem, the Biden regime says, all right, now you've crossed the line. You do not have the right diversity quotas. You need to, you know what you need? Affirmative action. We need affirmative action in Afghanistan. This is what the Biden regime has issued the statement for saying. Not the fact that they have Haqqani running their interior. Not the fact that we weaponize them. But no. They're insufficiently diverse. That they need to westernize themselves. And the Taliban, I'm sure that the Taliban read this and they say, are you kidding me? Like, we have $85 billion of your own weapons. We're now best buddies with the Chinese. And Connor, can you reiterate the countries that have embassies still in Kabul? I believe it's Pakistan, Qatar, China, Russia, and a couple others. I can't remember. Do you see really what's going on here? Yeah, that's right.
Turkey, Iran, Qatar, Pakistan,
which is a Muslim brotherhood.
China and Russia.
I think Turkey's run by the Brotherhood, if I'm not mistaken, right? Erdogan is a sympathizer. I could be wrong. The Brotherhood's not as big as people realize. Russia, Iran, Pakistan, Qatar, China, and Turkey. But don't worry. The Biden regime is on the case, everybody. They are sending the diversity industrial complex. They are sending hall monitors, and soon there will be safe spaces, trigger warnings, and there will be sensitivity trainings for Christians that get their heads cut off. This is the Biden regime's. It's not – they don't believe in peace through strength. They believe in peace through diversity, peace through press releases, while the Taliban is stronger than ever before. Why? We built that. Listen up, everybody. We are just weeks away from yet another American travesty, one that could lead our country even further down the road to tyranny. I'm talking, of course, about court packing, the far left's radical plan to rig our entire federal judiciary system by adding four liberal justices to the Supreme Court and completely destroying the constitutional rule of law in our country as we know it. Thankfully, my friends at First Liberty Institute, a national nonprofit law firm, are taking a stand. They've written a letter telling the Biden Commission to reject this brazen court packing scheme. And now prominent leaders, plus over 100,000 patriots like you, have joined their coalition. Franklin Graham, former Attorney General Ed Meese, Dr. Dobson, plus organizations like the American Policy Association, Concerned Women for America, are all on board. Now it's up to you. Sign your name right now next to these leaders by September 15th. Go to SupremeCoup.com. That's SupremeCoup.com right now. They're trying to pack the Supreme Court. My friend Kelly Shackelford runs this amazing organization. So do me a favor. Check it out. Sign it. It's free of charge. SupremeCoup.com. We were debating in the break the worst trades of all time outside of what the Bleacher Report said, the ones that weren't covered. And I thought of probably the worst trade ever done when it came to draft picks. Okay, we got Bill Russell and you got Brett Favre and you got Babe Ruth. But there was one that was so bad, it was so catastrophic that I remember it happening in real time. Ricky Williams. Anyone remember Ricky Williams? Ricky Williams was arguably the best college running back of all time for the University of Texas. You remember Ricky Williams, Andrew?
Oh, I remember Ricky Williams. He had the hair.
Now, do you remember Mike Ditka? Shoulders. I think it was Mike Ditka who was the coach of the New Orleans Saints. No. Mm-hmm. Dolphins.
He was coach of the Saints.
Was it the Saints? And he traded every draft pick. He traded like nine different draft picks, and Ricky Williams ended up being kind of like fast Bob Marley, like kind of a weed
1999
guy.
Ditka decided that he wanted Williams to play for the Saints. Yep.
And he traded Ditka. Everyone. And that Mike Ditka, I'm a big Ditka fan, by the way. Da Bersh, okay? From Chicago, all of you listening on AM560 The Answer. No offense to all of you listening on 77 on the dial on WABC. God bless you guys, but the Chicago first program here, as far as my own allegiances. I have to say, though, one of the worst trades ever done, at least alignments. But Obama and Bergdahl, much worse than that.
It's worth explaining what he did trade away. He traded every pick he had in the draft, plus two of its first three picks in the 2000 draft the year after it, which is, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot.
I remember there it is right there. The cover of ESPN was Ricky Williams in like this wedding dress and Mike Ditka in this kind of weird tuxedo. Cover of ESPN magazine. That actually used to be a really good magazine before they discontinued it. It was way better than Sports Illustrated. But ESPN has gone totally woke. I went to ESPN.com the other day. I'm a big college football fan. And still, I know, I suck it up. I still watch college football. And it actually wasn't as woke as I thought it would be this last weekend. But I go to ESPN.com, the first article, the struggle for transgender athletes. I'm like, my goodness, can I not escape for like 35 seconds from this thing? The front page of Disney ESPN. And so forget ESPN. But there was some great college football. But in closing, a statesman, someone in charge of being able to trade, someone in charge who's able to make deals and broker terrorists for a trader, they must always defend and make that deal in defense of the homeland. But we saw with Obama and Biden in every single one of their decisions, internationally and globally, empowering Iran, putting the Taliban back in power, was almost all pointing towards the strengthening of the Chinese Communist Party and their regime. Who is running our country? Well, the cash flows almost all go back to companies connected to or controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. Bo Bergdahl, the traitor of the United States that people died looking for, that reveals exactly what this regime did recently in Afghanistan. Gave away $85 billion in weapons intentionally, allowed the Taliban to take over Kabul intentionally, did nothing when a suicide bomber came and killed 13 Marines intentionally. Our current regime right now is not controlled by people who have loyalty or allegiance to America. Biden and his allies within the White House are being totally controlled by proxies that are much more loyal to Xi Jinping and the aims, wants, and desires of the Chinese Communist Party and their sinister and malevolent aims to take over Taiwan, which is happening very soon, by the way. Just so you know, China has entered Taiwan airspace. We covered that the other day, and almost no one else is covering that. And it all goes back to how Obama laid the groundwork for this. He laid the groundwork through the trades. He laid the groundwork through the empowerment of Iran, through the World Trade Organization, through who he sent to the UN. And now we're in this geopolitical mess that we're in, playing on other countries' terms. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, you can do so at charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.